23rd, 12:30. This is Peter Young for Perspectives Multicultural America. I'm sitting with Marvin McConnell. Mr. McConnell is a violinist and a fiddler. And the last name is McConnell. That's M-C-C-O-N-N-E-L-L, right?
N-N-E-L-L.
Right, okay. First name was Marvin. Is there a middle initial?
J.
J. He's a male. And you are part of which group? I know you're...
Poland Grass.
Poland Grass?
P-U-L-L-E-N. C-E Poland.
Poland Grass. Okay. And your address, sir?
My address?
Yes, sir.
2304.
2304.
Jewel Street.
Jewel. Street. It is in Albany. It's Georgia, and at 31701 County. That's Daugherty County, right?
Right.
D. That's 912. What's that phone? I've called it. Your phone number again.
Oh.
435-7431. Okay. And can I just have your birth date, sir?
214-29.
214-29. I tell you what, February. Good month. And where were you?
Valentine's Day.
That is Valentine's. I just recognize that. I was born on leap year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And your birthplace, sir?
Decorah, Iowa.
Decorah.
D-E-C-O-R-A-H.
Decorah. Never heard of them. Okay.
Northeast corner.
Northeast. I'm not very good with my geography of Iowa, of the Midwest, honestly. Category of artist, you classify it now as bluegrass. I remember when I was talking to you, but you originally called it country, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Primary language is English. I can figure some of these out on my own. And any religious affiliation?
Baptist.
Okay.
Occupation, retired.
Retired. Wonderful.
Bridgestone, Firestone.
From Firestone? Bridgestone. Firestone.
Right.
Was that up in Iowa? That you?
No, that's right out here.
In Albany. So. Cool. Field worker, that's me. And today is 11/23/99, and we're in Leesburg, Georgia. Boy, howdy, I got all this information down pat. Okay, I'm just gonna open up my notes. Get started. Okay, Mr. McConnell, how'd you first introduce to playing the fiddle or your blue or your country music? Who is the primary influence in your life?
Well, my uncle lived with us years ago, and he kept a fiddle under his bed all the time. He was crippled, and he had to walk with two canes. When I was a little fella, I suppose about 6 years old, I'd get under the bed and I'd get his fiddle out, and I handed him. He'd play a little bit on it, and I got messing with it, and got where I picked it up, I guess, from him. And after he passed away, I just kept getting the fiddle up and playing it myself until I picked it up and learned how to play it.
And you said you were about 6 years old when you started doing this.
Yeah.
And so you play by ear?
By ear,
do
yeah.
you read music as well?
No, sir, I can't. I sure wish I could. I could.
So everything you do is just by ear?
All by ear.
And you learn to tune it by ear? And see, that was always amazing to me.
I learned to tune it by ear, and I play all by ear. Like I said, I often wish that I could have went to the conservatory. That's what was always in my mind when I was young. I wanted to go through the conservatory and learn to read and to play. I love classical music.
Take your time. You like classical?
Yeah, classical, semi-classical.
Mm-hmm.
I never did have the opportunity to pursue into the conservatory, which I always wanted to do. I had two friends that I went to high school with. They went to the Chicago Conservatory. Both of them were teaching music. I don't know to this date whether they're still living or not, but that's what they've done for a career.
Huh. And both of them played the same country and
They
went into classical.
Yes, sir.
And real quick, Mr. McConnell, if we need to stop or break to answer phones or whatever, that's perfectly all right. I mean, I just have a little few questions and then I will be out of your way, and I do appreciate you participating with this interview with me. So the first music, now your uncle, what kind of music did he play? Did he play the country?
It was old Irish.
Old Irish.
Old Irish music that came over here from Ireland.
Are you Irish in descent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My mother was Irish, and my father also.
So you're
my mother's maiden name was O'Brien, and that's about as Irish.
That's just you can get. I knew some O'Briens back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's very Irish. They very Irish.
My descendants, all of them came from Ireland. My grandparents on both sides.
Oh. Excellent. And so you started playing the Irish folk. And then you got into classical next, or did you get into...
Just country.
Just country.
Mm-hmm.
What we call down here the bluegrass, you call just the country,
country,
right?
Country music. Like the old-time country that they used to play in Nashville.
Yeah, the Grand Ole Opry?
The Opry.
It's the old-time country. So you started picking up about six. How long your uncle started teaching you? How many years was it that he taught you before he passed away?
I guess probably about four or five, something like that.
Okay.
I think I was probably 10 years old when he
passed away. And then the rest of it you just picked up on your own. Any time in your earlier life did you ever play for any town halls or... how'd you get into performing with other groups, and where did you first meet your first?
They used to have old house dances years back, and I used to play for them. And then in later years, I moved to Rochester, Minnesota, and I got with a country band up there, which we had Seven Up Bottling Company and several different sponsors. Sponsored us on, we had a half hour on Saturday night and a half hour on Monday night on TV. And we had a group back then that I played with.
So you played professionally, really?
To a certain extent, because we had to belong to the union up there, Musicians Union.
You did have to join the
American
union.
American Federation of Musicians, yeah.
And was this your full-time occupation at the time, full-time job?
No, just a side.
Just side job. You've always had another job.
Yes, sir.
And this was just your side job, huh? And so you moved to Rochester,
Minnesota.
I want to say New York.
Yeah, you can think of it as New York, too. That's where they have the Mayo Clinic up there, Mayo Brothers.
Yes, sir. Actually, they have an extension of it down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, they do.
And I visited it. I had mono when I was at high school and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
So you moved from Iowa to Minnesota. About how old were you when you moved?
Well, I was out of the Navy. I guess I was about 25.
You were out of the Navy. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in Iowa. And joined the Navy at the age of, 18?
17.
At 17, most people did, and spent 7 years in the Navy,
yeah.
Roughly?
Yeah, about that.
The whole time in the Navy, you still were playing and...
Well, I carried a violin with me about all, every place I went, and you meet up with musicians in the service, you know.
Were there a lot of musicians in the Navy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met a good guy from Texas. He played guitar. I met a guy from Canada. He played upright bass. And we'd get us a group together, a board ship and whatever.
And just sit there and have fun, entertain.
Yeah. You meet a lot of good musicians.
Was there any, while you were in the Navy, were you exposed or did you get any more influences? Where did you, you mentioned you liked classical music a little earlier. Where did you first get introduced to playing classical music and how did that come around?
Well, I used to listen to a lot of recordings, classical recordings of Strauss and these top-notch musicians, you know. I got interested in it. And, I always liked classical music. And like I said, of course it was too late back then, but I started at an earlier age. I always wanted to go through the conservatory and learn to read and learn classical music and make a career out of it. But I never got the chance to do that.
Well, I'm sorry?
For this?
We were just talking about it, some of his musical background, and about how he's learned some of the classical. So you learned what you learned by classical. There again, you picked it up by ear.
By ear, yeah. I can play some classical, Strauss, waltzes, and stuff like that, but it's all by ear, and I know that it's not the way it's written, what I should say.
Well, but it sounds the same,
and
only a very maybe discerning ear could tell the difference in someone who's very versed in it.
I don't play it like it's written, of course, but I enjoy trying to do it anyway. You know.
Well, that's great. So you got out of the Navy, and you moved to Rochester, Minnesota, right?
Right.
Okay, and then you started, and you said you were in Minnesota's where you had, it was twice a week on TV for 30 minutes?
Monday night a half hour and Saturday night a half hour. We had what they call the Western Jamboree. And we had the sportscaster for a front man. He done all our front work, you know. And we traveled in through to different fairs. And we had a guy from Wanamingo, Minnesota. He had a trained Palomino horse. He traveled with us. And he put on a show with the horse. And we had a comedian that done comedian work along with us.
So all this was in conjunction, and you traveled just to the local fairs and
local
did it on the
fairs,
TV. What was the name of the program? Do you remember?
Golly, I don't remember.
That's
way back then.
Oh, that was a while back. And how long did you stay in Minnesota?
I lived there about 15 years, I guess.
15 years, and from there did you move south?
No, I moved to Williston, North Dakota.
You like the cold country out there?
I don't really like it, but I went out there, I stayed out there about 2 years, and I moved around up into, I come back to Youngstown, Ohio, and Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and...
Did you move all these places with your job, with... I mean, what?
No, I did. I was just traveling.
Just traveling,
Seeing
the country.
Right.
See.
I'd stop off and stay someplace for a year or two, and move on.
And the whole time, you had your fiddle with you.
Yeah.
And ended up in bands.
Yeah. Played with different groups.
Played with different groups. Anytime during this time, did you run across anybody who was kind of maybe more famous, or did you have any encounters with someone, or?
I have met some of the musicians out of Nashville, Jim and Jesse McReynolds, and we had a little band going down here in Georgia, and we opened for their show down in, what's that little town below Valdosta there?
Whitman?
Lake Park.
Lake Park.
Lake Park.
Yeah. Right there where the lakes are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we opened for them down there when I was playing with a little group. Well, the same group I'm with now, really.
And during this whole time of you moving around, was there any particular artist or group that influenced you the most during this time? Or it was just you were just picking up the country and going?
mostly my favorite violinist or fiddle player, whatever you want to call him, he's... I think the last I heard, he's at Carnegie Hall now. Oh. But he started out, Mark O'Connor. He started out as a fiddle player, and he progressed on up. I think he's into classical music now at Carnegie Hall, last I heard.
That's quite a step.
Yes, it is.
That is quite a step.
But he's a wonderful musician. He's played on the Opry and took many contests and whatever, first place.
Oh, okay, because you said violinist or fiddle player. What do you consider yourself? Do you consider yourself a violinist? Do you consider yourself a fiddler? And why do you consider yourself, I mean, do you see a difference between the two, a distinction between the two, or?
The difference, in my way of thinking, a violinist is a classical musician.
Mm-hmm.
And a fiddle player is, plays just regular country, breakdowns and whatever, bluegrass and country and whatever.
So by that distinction, you consider yourself more of a fiddler than a violinist.
Yeah, I'd rather be a violinist than I would a fiddler.
But the fiddler's fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got
to,
you know, having some of that country music, that breakdown.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable. I enjoy every minute of it. I have been going down to Thomasville every Tuesday night, and we have a jam session down there.
Every Tuesday night?
Yeah, and go over to this guy's house. We just get together and jam.
And who all, what all consists of, okay, there's, is there any other fiddlers? What all is your band consisting of down there at your jam session?
Mr. Pullen plays banjo, and Hugh James is a banjo player. He plays banjo. And we got Lamar Keene, which is an excellent mandolin player, and Thomas Hale is an excellent guitar player. And then we have an elderly fellow, which his health is pretty bad shape now, but he was a real good singer and a good bass player. But he got to the point, he's got bad heart trouble.
Yes, sir.
And he hasn't been able to get out with us really in the last few weeks or so.
Really? Ooh. And then but you're the only fiddle player in the group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tell you what. And so last you were in Dakotas, and you just moved around the Midwest, kind of,
mm-hmm.
jumping back a little bit. What brought you south?
Well, I came down here, I was on my way to Florida, just traveling, and I stopped off in Moultrie, Georgia, and I met a lady there, and we got married, and I've been here ever since.
Well, a good lady will do that to you every time.
Yeah, that was back in 71, I think it was, and I started to work up here at the factory and all.
The Firestone?
Yeah, Bridgestone.
Firestone. I can
now
never
I settled
remember.
Down instead of traveling all over, right?
And so that's what it took to settle you down.
Right.
Took a good lady.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? She passed away 2 years ago last July.
My condolences.
And I've known her for about 20 years, and her and I got together and we got married. So.
Well, congratulations.
And I moved all, moved everything up here to Albany. And,
you weren't living in Albany before. Now you said you worked for Bridgestone.
No, I lived in Moultrie.
You just drove up to Albany to work.
Yeah,
and still
right.
lived in Moultrie.
Right.
So you're really from the. How long have you been going out to the music hall? There again, I met you out at the music
hall. Oh, in Valdosta?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I've been going out there, let's see, probably 3-4 years anyway, or 5, something like that, ever since they've been open out there.
They've only been open about 5 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, I thought, there again, I hadn't had much exposure to that particular mm-hmm. group. I was in the impression they were open a little bit longer.
They have a country jamboree down here in Pelham, and I used to go down there all the time, but I haven't been lately. They have that every Saturday, and that's been going since about 3 years now, I guess.
So you moved down here in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And was that from the Dakotas, or did you?
No, I came down here from Iowa, or from Ohio.
Ohio. From the Dakotas, you moved to Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you in Ohio?
About 2 years, I guess, something like that.
About 2 years there again? I tell you, that's some pretty country, some of that.
Yeah.
that Roland.
Youngstown, Ohio.
Is that south, north? Not familiar with Youngstown.
Well, it's pretty much in the southern part of the state, and that borders Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And you go across the line, you're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
That's still some of the steel area and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
They used to have a lot of, steel mills. The steel country up through there. Well, Ohio was that way too, but they were pretty well shut down most of the steel mills up there now.
And your first violin, you got your uncle's violin after he passed, mm-hmm. correct? How long did you keep that violin?
I traded here and traded there.
As you traveled? With other musicians? How did the trade work? I mean, you saw somebody else as you played and he played yours, and y'all just decided to swap?
We swap, yeah.
Now, was that common back in those, back in...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Back, you know, in those days.
I have...
You ever make... I've heard of some people who made their own, you know, early on. Hauled out some wood.
No, I never have made any. I've known people that have.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling you about Mr. Doherty down there, he makes them. And he puts out some excellent material. They're really good. I bought one from a friend of mine. I've got two now. A friend of mine that lives down here in Coolidge, I bought one from him. And the other old one I carried for a long time, I still have it. When I was out in North Dakota, I helped an undertaker out there part-time. And him and I was talking one day, and he said, I got a violin up in the attic. He said, you can have it if you want it. And he gave it to me, and it didn't have no strings or nothing on it. It had pegs was all out of it, whatever. And I re-pegged it and strung it up, and I still got it. I still carry it with me.
And that's the so you have that one and the other one that you got from your friend now.
I've got two, yeah.
How long have you had each one of these?
I'd say, the one I bought from Mr. King down here I've had for about 6 years, I guess, 5-6 years. And the other one I've had for... I'd say around 28, 29 years, somewhere along there.
That's a while. Yeah. The one I saw you playing on is the one you bought from Mr. King.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you use.
Light colored one. Right. I use that most of the time. The other one's got a little more volume to it, and I usually have to keep it muted down, you know, put a mute on it.
It has a little bit more volume when you go to town.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you prefer one over the other? I mean, does the age of the instrument, some things get better with age, some things don't.
The violin does, they really do.
They really do?
Yeah, the older they are, the better they are.
Seriously? What's better about it? Yeah, I mean, is it the sound quality is richer?
Sound quality and the age, the wood ages over years, you know, and that puts a better tone. To it, evidently. That's what I've been told, anyway, by...
Well, I mean, and this is from your personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that, you know, this is areas that I'm exploring. I never really knew.
They always talk about the Stradivarius, and, of course, the Stradivarius is priceless, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody that you talk to that plays fiddle has one.
Mm-hmm.
But to my knowledge, what I've read up on, I think that there was only 8 Stradivarius originally made, you know.
Huh.
And they were made, I think, back in the 1600s or 1700s, back in that early.
And they're now priceless, as you said. I mean, I'm really a novice when it comes to fiddles and violins in that area. And I even know about the Stradivarius. It's supposed to be the premium
mm-hmm.
violin or fiddle.
I think I was told, now I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I was told that Jack Benny had an original. And this concert violinist, Jehoppa Hyphus, I believe his name. I believe I was told he had an original.
One of the 8 originals.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And most of the, I want to just talk real quick about most of the songs. Going back, most of them are played, are they just passed down? How, from generation to generation, most of the songs you've learned, did you learn them from there again from your uncle?
Yeah, I learned from him some of the old fiddle, Irish fiddle tunes, horn pipes, and Irish washwoman, and Fisher's hornpipe, and different tunes that he used to play. That I guess some of them originated over in Ireland, and whatever, I don't really know.
Have you written any of your own?
No, sir, I never have.
You've never just fiddled out, and some people just, you know, pluck their own and just go to town and like the way they sound, but you've never written anything of your own.
Uh-huh.
What do you enjoy playing the most? If there's one song that you really enjoy playing, which one is it?
I believe I'd have to say Fisher's Hornpipe.
Why is that?
Well, it's an old tune, and to me it's kind of complicated to play.
A lot of fast movements.
Yeah, there's a lot of people can't play it. And that's one of my favorites, I would say.
Just because it's fast, it's upbeat, a lot of fast rhythms,
right.
Syncopation involved.
Exactly.
There again, I've always liked the bluegrass and the clogging.
Yeah, yeah.
You play a lot of stuff you can clog too.
Yeah, I can, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've ever seen, I've seen it on TV. They got a group coming to Albany here, I believe at the theater, I think next month. River Dance,
mm-hmm.
from there, all from Ireland.
Yes, sir.
And this is a group that's coming here. They got a different name to it, but it's all the same thing, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I enjoy watching that, man. I tell you, them people are something else.
Together.
It's just everything is synchronized.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for, synchronized. It is. I mean, and it's, I've seen bits and pieces on TV, and it's amazing to me. I never could get so much in tuned, I don't think, with anybody else.
It's amazing how they can do it. It must take an awful lot of choreography to get people in. You know, and so precise the way they are.
Sure.
What they do, you know.
Sure, it is. Going back to your heyday, or when you played it the most you played was maybe 3 or 4 times a week. How often, I mean, when you were up in the Minnesotas or wherever and you own your TV show, you said that was twice a week. And then in addition to that, did you go play at the town halls? Or?
Well, we played for dancers.
For dancers.
Like I said, in fair season, we'd try to make the local fair, whatever.
So, I mean, pretty full time at night. How many nights a week? I'm just trying to get an appreciation for how many nights.
Well, usually on the weekends it would be.
It was just weekend work.
Mm-hmm. Usually everybody that, the group that I played with, they all had other jobs, you know, to go to.
Right.
Whatever, and it's hard to keep a band together also, because you got people that's working other jobs, and a lot of times they can't get off to go here and there, wherever you go.
What was your longest stay with the band then? How many years were you with the same band?
Well, in Minnesota up there, I guess I stayed with the group about 5 years.
About 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long time considering, especially back in those days.
It is, yeah.
How many bands have you been with, an estimation?
Well, I played with possibly 15 or 20 different groups.
Just over the years?
Over the years, yeah.
Huh. Radio, did you ever do much with the radio?
I never did play much on radio, very little.
But yeah, then you said you listened to the records and the radios, but that had a large influence on your style. It's really an interesting how much, I guess I've always assumed, you know, more of a structured, and talking to like with yourself and Mr. Zorn, mm-hmm. how it all became to be. And then just in kind of a final wrapping up session, you've been down here in Valdosta now, in South Georgia for what, 30? How long have you been down?
Well, near about 30.
Near about 30 years.
30 years.
Playing there again, the bluegrass. And they call it bluegrass here. This is something I've brushed on, but I want to... You called it country growing up. Is there any real difference between what we call bluegrass here and what you call country growing up?
Yeah, there's a big difference. Uh-huh. There's a lot of difference in country and bluegrass. Like I said, I never was introduced to bluegrass till I came down south.
What's the major differences as from your standpoint as a fiddler?
Bluegrass has got altogether a different fast rhythm to it. And if you've ever heard Bill Monroe, he's the originator of bluegrass music, and it's altogether different. Fiddling bluegrass is altogether different than fiddling country music. It's got a different style to it. You meet different fiddle players, which I have down here. Each one that I've ever met has got their own style. They don't have the same style of playing.
Well, side two, continuation. He was talking about, going back, how do you describe your style? You said a minute ago, each bluegrass fiddler you've run across has their own style.
Yeah,
and I said, what characteristics would you describe in your style? And how much of an influence maybe your previous country might have played in it?
Well, the only way I could describe it is I play a lot of contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of these guys down here, they play strictly bluegrass. And of course, they can play things that I can't play, and I can play things that they can't play.
Sure. The bluegrass would be in a little bit more up-tempo and that kind of stuff than what you originally learned with the country. What's a country song that you first learned that kind of is an example of the style that you really came from? Is there one of the first songs you learned that's pretty popular?
Well, I can't recall any right at this time, but I used to listen a lot of George Jones.
So when we're talking about country, we're talking about what most people would consider the classic country artists.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then that's, I see what you're saying.
And of course, before George Jones got to where he is, back in 1956, I think it was, or 55, there was a group of us went up to Nashville, and George was just starting out then, and he was playing at some of the local clubs up there, and then, of course, he made records and got up on top, and there was different people up there that were just starting out in the country field at that time.
Years ago,
confirmed artists, I guess, country artists.
Yeah. George Jones.
Tammy Wynette and different ones, Of course, she's passed away.
She was good.
She was good. Grandpa Jones, he's gone.
When I think of country fiddling, and granted, for my generation, the one I think of the most is probably Charlie Daniels and When the Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
Old Charlie Daniels. They play a lot of country, and I believe they do some bluegrass too.
But they're more known for their country.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think of when I think of country fiddling, and that's just probably the tip of the iceberg. And so your last few years, you've just been playing more. There again, I just want to, down here you play more and more bluegrass than you do country.
Right.
And you also said you do gospel.
Yeah, we do a lot of gospel.
Because coming from Waycross, they have that all-night gospel thing, they have there at the stadium. And when you say gospel, what's a song, a gospel song that you play? I mean, are we talking about traditional hymns?
Yeah.
You know.
Most of it's right out of the hymn book.
Right out of the hymn book. Like Amazing Grace is one
right.
that I always.
Yeah, that's real good one. Yeah,
Old Rugged Cross. Yeah. So that when you say gospel, these are the kind of things you play.
One friend we have in Jesus and this and that.
And it's similar to just like we hear it out of the hymn.
Exactly.
But this time you have the banjos and the mandolin. And the fiddle and the guitar.
And the guys, three of the guys that sing also.
Do you sing as well?
No, I
you
don't.
You just play the fiddle.
I'm not a singer. They won't let me sing.
That's okay. Gospel. So a lot of it in churches and that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's great. I mean, I always enjoyed that kind of stuff. I really want to appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me this morning, Mr. McConnell. I do appreciate this a whole lot. It's been real interesting and informative for my behalf. And
it's my privilege.
Well, thank you. And if you're ever down, when are you going to be back down in Thomasville?
I don't know if they have anything lined up. I haven't heard from them. Like I said, I usually go down on Tuesday nights, but just for a jam. You know.
Y'all just sit there and jam? Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if he's got any jobs lined up or anything.
How often do y'all do a job? About once a month?
Whatever. A lot of people call him from churches, different churches, you know. And we go and do the churches, whatever he gets. They had a Boston Marathon. We went and played for it here about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
The Boston Marathon?
Mm-hmm.
Up in Boston?
No, not in Boston, Massachusetts. Boston, Georgia.
Oh, they have a marathon in Boston, Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. You got to help me out here.
Yeah.
Some of these things, I was like, man, that's real stuff.
Yeah.
What's probably the biggest thing you've ever played for, the biggest audience or group you've ever played for?
Golly, I was trying to think. I guess it would be at the State Fair in Minnesota, I believe that's.
Well, those are pretty big. I mean, there's thousands of people who go through
those. That, I'd say, would possibly be the largest place I've ever played at.
State Fair in Minnesota.
And that was way on back in the 50s, early 50s.
when you lived in Rochester, right?
Right.
Yeah. Huh. That's a big, that's still quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's, we had a lot of, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of scary sometimes, you know, you get out there in front of a bunch of people, but you're always afraid something's going to go wrong, you know.
But everything
always. He's on edge.
Is there any most memorable thing from all your performances or any, you know, usually people who perform and whatever can remember one concert, one outing, one something. Is there anything from your many years that you remember as most memorable?
I think the most memorable thing I've got, I went with a man from La Crosse, Wisconsin, back in 57, I think. He went to Nashville to make a record up there. And we went out to a little old radio station out there. It took him about, I didn't play on the record or anything, but they had some local musicians that come in for background and whatever. And it took about all day for him to cut the master tape. But afterwards, we went out around Old Hickory Lake and met Lonzo and Oscar where they lived out there, and Carl Smith and different country artists we got to meet, and little Jimmy Dickens out on Old Hickory Lake, and they're really wonderful people to meet, you know.
Yes,
they're
sir.
Just as common as you and I are, you know, but they
humble and everything.
Oh yeah. And I think that's possibly my most memorable thing that I have accomplished.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a load of fun, just, you know, cutting up with all those people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just having a Having a blast. Has any of your stuff ever been recorded?
No.
I mean, so you've never had a record,
no.
Any of your groups or anything like that?
Well, we've made some tapes and stuff, but they, you know.
Just never promoted them,
no.
Got a label or anything.
No.
You're just doing it for the fun of it.
Just the fun of it, yeah.
And it is a lot of fun. And for people like me who enjoy listening, that kind of stuff, you know, we thank all the artists. I mean, I have no musical ability, but I love music. I love to listen to it. And you know, where would you recommend somebody like me picking up a tape of good old bluegrass country music? Or what group would you recommend if I wanted to go buy a tape? And who would you recommend? Who are some of the people you like to listen to?
Seldom Seen. Of course, they're all professional, and they've got out some wonderful bluegrass music.
And it's called Seldom Seen?
Mm-hmm, Seldom Seen. I think one of the group, I believe, is a doctor out of Walter Reed Hospital.
Huh.
And they've been going for quite a few years. And also, Ricky Skaggs has
some bluegrass out?
Yeah, they were down to the Spirit of Swanee here not too long ago back.
Hmm.
And another good group that I've heard is Sam Bush.
Not familiar with them.
They're, I think, out of Branson. I believe that's where he's out of now. But there's a lot of many good bluegrass, professional bluegrass musicians that really out of this world.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me, so the way some of them play, you know. It kind of curls your hair when you get around some of them guys that really know what they're doing, you know. And they're so precise on everything. Good guitar picker, good mandolin picker, good fiddler.
So when you're talking about precise, you can describe the bluegrass. It can be precise, but also you can just jump in and freestyling it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And is that what a lot of you at these jam sessions, just a bunch of freestyling, or is it are the songs ones everybody knows, or a few people start a song and then everybody else jumps in freestyling, or?
Well, mostly they go by what?
Popular songs that people know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most bluegrass groups try to copy professional groups, you know.
Like the Bill, way back to Bill Monroe's and mm-hmm. since then.
Yeah.
Well, what group would you say that y'all have emulated the most or copied? Was Bill Monroe the big influence in your bluegrass style?
Yeah, and Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker.
He's
He plays the fiddle?
He's a fiddle player, and I believe in bluegrass, he'd be my pick.
Why? What is it about his style?
He's just out of this world.
He can just go to town.
Oh, man, I tell you.
All right, Marvin, you going with me?
We ain't done yet.
Well, you got to be getting done if you go with me.
We're winding it up. Mr. McConnell, that's, I have more than enough.